This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us right now is one of the voices of the New York Yankees, Yankees baseball, Espanol. It's Ricky Ricardo.
What's up, bro?
What's up, yo? Where do we start? I know you want to flex. I know you want to flex about your Super Bowl ring. We'll get that out of the way.
Marash is out of here, so
we'll get that out of the way. The Eagles won the Super Bowl.
You may refer to me now as two-time Super Bowl winning announcer, Ricky Ricardo. But that's football, and that's on the back shelf for now, although Aziz Ojulari might bring me a third. Keep them coming. Keep the Giants free agent coming.
Not if Russell Wilson has something to say about it.
Well, I'd rather have Ciara than Russell Wilson.
That's one of the first things I was like, my goodies, she's coming through. She's coming through. I might have to pull up to a Giants practice. No, I don't do that. I don't use my media credential to actually really do much. Yeah. I did use it to go sit in with Dave and Susan. You and I were just talking about...
Yeah, we just missed each other.
Yeah, we were two ships passing in the night at spring training. Let's talk about spring training. One, with Dave and Susan, you know, so many people talk about Ricky Ricardo, and they give you love, and they say he should be the guy to replace John Sterling. And I'm like, he's already the guy. He'll fill in, but he already has his own gig. I'll let you speak on it.
Look, you know, you can't go wrong with Dave Sims. I mean, when you compare sports resumes, his is brilliant.
So he's an icon. I try to tell people that as well. Like, his career and what he's done and his just level of professionalism and knowledge, like, we got a pro's pro
across the board. It's a great addition to a great team. We are one family, whether it be in English or in Spanish. So it's an honor for me to sit next to Dave Sims, just as it was to sit next to John Sterling and Susan Waldman.
And we're stronger that way, because if we take you out of the Spanish broadcast and we can't find somebody, we literally can't find someone as good as you to do the Spanish call, then we're at a deficit.
Put it this way, the Architect and Odyssey have made me very happy. Okay? So we'll just leave it at that.
You in there recording some stuff, some endorsements or something?
No. In other ways. They made it up to me.
I'm sure you're taken care of, and I'm happy to hear that. God bless. Back to spring training.
Yeah.
You know how I said, like, I get my credential. I go to spring training as a fan. I'm still very much a fan. I'm at the bullpen club. I'm at the bank club. I'm in the seats with the fans. Mm-hmm. But I popped in to do an inning with Dave and Susan. But even that, like, shout out to my guy Lee. Lee was like, you didn't sound like yourself. I'm like, one, I was tired because I brought the baby on the trip. Two, it's not like this. I can be my complete self for 5 hours doing this. When you're on a call, there are balls, strikes, plays being called, and also that's...
And they're developing their chemistry.
Yes, that's their time in spring training for them, too, to develop their show. So I was happy to be a part of it, but what I just told you was, like, you know, you asked, like, did I go down to the field? I ran into Boone. I went to the day game, and I said, what's up to Boone, but from the stands right next to the dugout. But when I had talked to Boone a couple months ago, he said, like, you know, come down, come. And I'm just like, I haven't gotten there yet as a media member, but you did go to the clubhouse and you did interview some players. I saw some videos. So tell us, you know, what the vibes were like, what you saw, anything you learned, anything that you felt that was, you know, different this year going into 2025.
Very different. Very different. Now, remember, last year it was a freight train that we all knew just had to leave the station. Here we come. This is a little bit different. You know, Brian Cashman worked around the edges when Juan Soto went over the RFK Triborough Bridge. So there are a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of confidence in that clubhouse. I'll tell you that much. And you've got great stories in that clubhouse, like J.C. Ascara. You've got an opportunity for a kid like the Martian to, you know, carve his own niche in that lineup and make his own name in New York City as a great Dominican player. So, you know, there are new stories. It's not as, when you got to spring training last year, okay, the roster was basically decided, maybe a move here, a move there. And it was basically, let's just count down the days until we get this freight train rolling and go to Houston and sweep that first series against the Astros. And, you know, and here we come. And, you know, Luis Gil takes over for Gerrit Cole, who was going to miss, you know, a month or two. But we knew he was coming back, so it was a different mindset than knowing that your ace is out for the entire season. And then Luis Gil is also injured. So there were some daily adjustments in this camp because it seemed like the bad news kept coming in waves, Keith. An injury here, a setback here. Giancarlo's not getting any better. What's the deal with? So there was a lot of uncertainties that Aaron Boone was able to steer the ship through during this camp, when last year it was almost as if it was flawless, minus the Cole setback. But we, like I said, we knew he was coming back, and we got through it because Luis Gil stepped up. So now it's time for Will Warren to maybe be this year's Luis Gil, a veteran like Carlos Carrasco. We came into camp thinking Marcus Stroman might not be part of this team.
Correct.
He's now the number three starter as we go into this season. So it was a topsy-turvy kind of camp this year as compared to last year, where we were like a hungry dog just waiting to get out of the doghouse and just attack.
Yeah, because you knew you had two of the top five players in the sport hitting next to each other in the order. It was only a matter of time. Pick your poison. Judge, Soto, or both are going to get you. Now it's a philosophy change. Now I think they shifted to defense and pitching and, you know, tightening the screws on this thing. And hopefully they can pitch without Heel and without Cole. Like, you know, another guy, Carlos Carrasco. We didn't think Carlos Carrasco was
closer in Devin Williams.
Devin Williams you add to this team now. I mean, we expect Devin Williams to be Devin Williams. There's a different vibe around the team now that they have beards. Much has changed.
Guys have beards now. So, you know, a much different camp. A lot of positives, but yet at the same time, a lot of unknowns. So this is going to be a big year for Aaron Boone, okay? Because he's going to have, last year Aaron Boone could basically, you know, write down the lineup, put it out there, and just sit back and watch.
Sure.
You know, that
didn't matter who was leading off, who was in the bottom of the order.
It was a locomotive that was going to go right through the American League all the way to the World Series. This year he may have to manage a little bit.
No, he will. It will. I've leaned on the next man up year from 2019, where we saw Mike Tauchman and Mike Ford, and even Cameron Maben comes along, and random guys played like Breivik Valera and Tyler Wade. Well, you know, now this is a completely different team than the team that got to the World Series last year, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? Alex Verdugo and Anthony Rizzo are still not on teams. I think this team can be better. Now,
well, Verdugo's with the Braves, I think.
Did Verdugo sign with the Braves?
Atlanta. Yeah.
Late. So I missed that while I was at spring training. I think that happened last week. Mm-hmm. But either way, like, he signed late, where it's like not too many people were beating down his door, and this was a guy getting at bats for us in the World Series. Where I'm going to next is, like, when you look at the additions of a Cody Bellinger, a Paul Goldschmidt, right? You mentioned the Martian, Jason Dominguez, Austin Wells, another year older, Jazz Chisholm getting a full Yankees spring training for the first time, going in, like, No one can replace the production of Juan Soto, but they're still going to produce. What do you expect to see out of the Yankees lineup? It's a complete different lineup now.
Look, Oswaldo Cabrera gets a full shot.
Shout out to Waldo, too, yes.
Okay, at third base. Here's a question for you. Do we see Anthony Volpe of year one, or do we see the Anthony Volpe of year two?
Hopefully neither.
Made adjustments, or do we see a better Anthony Volpe?
Hopefully a better Anthony Volpe in year three.
Remember, he made all those adjustments to his, you know, his stance and the way he took pitches. And,
yes.
You know, so from year one where he wins a gold glove, year two the production comes down a little bit, had some ups and downs, didn't steal, maybe didn't, you know, steal as many bases, wasn't
got to get on the steal, yep.
Yeah, so which Volpe do we see this year? Do we see Cabrera take advantage of the situation and take that quantum leap forward? Putting Jazz at his natural position. That's his natural position.
Look at the Yankees playing guys at their natural position.
Okay, at second base. You know, does Goldschmidt at 37 years of age, does he have a renaissance season in him? If Austin Wells indeed is going to be your leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
Yankees have never had a catcher hitting leadoff.
We're in the future now.
Exactly. You know, they got a bearded Austin Wells hitting leadoff. How about that? So there's a lot of new things to take into consideration. Max Fried now becomes the ace.
Good to have him.
Everybody steps up one. You know, Carlos Rodon is, you know, your opening day starter, but he is considered, I guess, your number two starter. You know, you go Stroman, you go Will Warren, who had a rough short time in the major leagues last year. Looked good in spring training. Throw that out now. Now it's showtime.
Carlos Rodon with a beard might be a different man.
Rodon might be, you know, you never know. It's his third year in a Yankee uniform. Maybe he's more settled in than he's ever been before. And then a veteran like Carrasco, but they're testing the depth. The Yankees had a lot of pitching depth in February 16th, whatever day, right around Valentine's Day when pitchers and catchers reported. That pitching depth with the injuries is going to be tested now, as you know.
Yeah, funny, when we came into camp, I said the thing I was most interested in seeing was all the pitching depth, and quickly that changed.
JD, Brubaker out. I mean, it's not even just
Brubaker with the
guys.
Ribs right away.
Yeah, you know, Cousins.
Clark Schmidt, cranky back.
Yeah, Jake Cousins. You know, so it's a lot of guys, a lot of injuries this spring as compared to last year when it was almost flawless.
Last thing for you, I know I said I had to get you out of here by the quarter, 10:15. You've been in the city a couple years now, a couple decades now. You've walked these New York streets.
Oh, yeah.
So much talk about who's big brother and little brother. Juan Soto choosing to go from the Yankees to the Mets has made a lot of young Mets fans feel like this is our time. Now we're the big brother. And I just feel like it takes so much more than that. It takes winning. And for the Mets, it would take years. They would have to win throughout the duration of his contract for that to actually swing. How do you feel as far as like what you've seen in the city? I can't speak on the late 80s. I can't speak on the early 90s. I can only speak on the last 10 years that I've physically been in New York.
You know, the only reason that the 86 Mets in the annals of history might be considered at the time the dominant, and they were. I lived through it. I was on the radio here playing all kinds of hip hop and disco and and having some fun at every nightclub in Manhattan when I got off the air at midnight every night. And a lot of Met players joined me. You know, and a lot of Yankee guys were there. But in that period of time, the Mets were the big brother. You know why? Because they won. But in 85, the Cardinals beat them out. In 88, the Dodgers upset them in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that balloon, the air came out of that big brother balloon for the Mets very, very quickly. Okay? So, yeah, they made the move. They got Soto. They've done this. They've done that. Now you have to go out and win, okay, which is something they have yet to show us that they can do. And the National League East, as the American League East, improved. Philadelphia, you know,
Braves.
Atlanta, Philadelphia. Washington's a little bit better.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a dogfight in that National League East. Boston is better in the American League East. Maybe Baltimore takes a step back with no real ace in their rotation. Tampa Bay's got to play at Steinbrenner Field with a rain delay every day. How does Kevin Cash handle that? That's, you know, these are elements they've never had to deal with before.
Right.
So what I'm saying by this is I still think the Yankees are the cream of the American League. The Mets have it a little bit tougher in the National League East. And, yeah, you got Juan, You know, you spent the extra 50 cents, the extra buck to bring number 22 across the RFK Bridge.
50 cents every second.
And as the guy used to say on TV, now you go and earn it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Ricky, get out of here, man. Go home. We got a 162 and postseason coming up. You got more work to do?
I got commercials to record here.
Well, hey, appreciate you, man. Go do your thing. Ricky Ricardo, ladies and gentlemen.
Hand to the hand, baby.
Man, I got to hammer these phones and these calls. I appreciate you guys for calling and holding. You know, we try to bring in guests and do things. Like, hopefully you enjoyed the quick conversation with Ricky. And earlier, hopefully you enjoyed the conversation with Pat Leonard from the Daily News covering the Giants. If you missed anything, Pat Leonard was on at 8 p.m. and Ricky was just on 10 to 10:15. In between, we've been talking Mets and Yankees. And obviously we opened the show with the breaking news on Russell Wilson signing a one-year deal with the Giants for $10.5 million that can escalate up to $21 million. And we started taking calls on that. So let's clear those calls as we're going to end the night, obviously, talking about the Mets and the Yankees and baseball season and looking at odds. And I'll give you my picks. I hate doing it. I really think it's a fool's errand. It does not matter like what I think about, like, oh, the World Series is going to be the Padres versus the Detroit Tigers. Like, what does that matter? That defeats the whole, like, I don't know. I've never been that kind of guy. Even if I'm correct, what do I win for being correct? So let's hit Russell Wilson, football talk. If you're on hold, stay on hold, because we are going to get to Brandon Nimmo's comments. I read those before one of the last breaks. Juan Soto's comments from Sports Illustrated, all that stuff. And if there's anything that, and I meant to say this before, if there's anything that went down last week that you wanted to get my opinion or take on, 888-808-1019. I was in Tampa last week for spring training. I'm not talking about like Pizzagate or like somebody hit me up there like, what's your thoughts about Snow White? Like, I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about sports, bro. I talked about St. John's last night. I think we're moving on. Anyway, Nick is in Yonkers. Nick, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on? I want to talk about Russell Wilson on the Giants. I think it's pathetic. I think it's desperate. And honestly, I don't know what you get out of it. Like, this Giants team is not good. They have a brutal – have you looked at their schedule next year? It's brutal. I mean, what is this going to do? Is it going to bring them from winning two games to winning five games? I don't understand the value of bringing him in.
Thanks for the call, Nick. I don't think he's desperate at all. You don't see the value of bringing in a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. You don't see the value of bringing in a guy that – has thrown touchdowns in the last few years for like this low cost that's going to help elevate your quarterback room and your locker room and bring some star power to the organization. You have Jameis Winston as well. I don't see anything wrong with these moves. You guys watched Tim Boyle play quarterback last year. You guys were watching Jake Fromm and Mike Glennon a couple years ago. Like, Daniel Jones was your franchise quarterback for like 5 years. What are we talking about? That's not, again, I'm like, beggars can't be choosers. When you miss and you strike out on these quarterbacks, like, they're, come on, bro. This is the Fan in New York, where if you listen to the Fan in New York during the Tommy Cutlass era, people were telling you he's the next Tom Brady. Some of our hosts thought that the Giants found the answer. Like, what? Here's Russell Wilson, who has won a Super Bowl, who's been a good quarterback in this league. Yeah, he's up there in age. He's up there in age, but he's not done. And Jameis Winston, who is a Heisman Trophy winner, number one pick, won some games last year, can still sling it. These guys that are coming in here, practice is going to be more efficient with these guys at quarterback. They're bringing something into the practice, into the film room, into the locker room that is needed here. They're culture changers. The culture right now is losing. The culture right now is your head coach not wanting to say anything to the media. Guys like Malik Nabers is a rookie coming to the media, chewing his gum, talking, I'm Ask Dave's, tired of losing. Like, they're trying to fix this thing in a hurry. How do you fix this thing in a hurry? They wanted Matthew Stafford. They couldn't get him. He went back to the Rams. He didn't leave. They wanted Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers didn't really give him the time of day. So they went out there and honestly took two of the better options, which in this free agency, I don't know. Like, they were never getting Sam Darnold. They went out there and bought two quarterbacks for under $15 million. That, like, yeah, it might not make you too pumped up about the season, but, like, you just watched them lose 10 games in a row last year. And a lot of those were no contests. The Eagles smacked the Giants. The Bucks smacked the Giants. Like, at least now you have the thought that they're adding talent and they have NFL caliber quarterbacks where maybe you can be in some games, compete in some games, steal a couple games, and win. Young Ari, Alan Lakewood, my guy, it's been a minute. You're on.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, Keith, you're the best. I just wanted to know your thoughts on, since the Giants got Russell Wilson, I want to know if you think the Giants are still going to take, what's his name?
Shador?
Not Shador, the guy.
Cam Ward?
No, the other guy.
Travis Hunter?
Yeah, Travis Hunter.
I think that's who they should take, bro. Thanks for the call, Ari. I think they should because, like, now you're drafting the best available, and he does fit two needs. Like, if this kid, like, I don't know. I watched him play a lot last year. He catches the ball in space, he's gone. He also is an outside receiver. I was talking to someone in the chat. I was talking to my guy Gabe in the chat about, like, you sure he could play nickel? And I don't know if he could be your nickel corner. I think he's an outside man-to-man guy. I think he is, you know, going to follow, or he wants to at least follow around the number one receiver. He's an outside guy. And he's got the confidence that he could do that, but it's unproven. He did it at the college level. He did it in high school. We're not sure if he could do that, but, man, isn't that a fun experiment for the Giants to play around with? Bring in a freak athlete and see where he's best at, see if he actually can get it done. Give him the reps. Give him the reps in camp. Give him the reps in the preseason. That's the perfect time to test drive a Travis Hunter. Here you go. Preseason game one. Go out there and play the whole game at corner and receiver. Let's see if you can do it. Let's see if you get burnt. Let's see if you get run over. Let's see if you drop the ball. Let's see if you can do it at NFL level. I'm taking that kid. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. He brings in millions of fans right away to the Giants fan base. 888-808-1019. Speaking of millions of fans and bringing them into the fan base, Juan Soto did that for the Mets. I mean, he might even have pulled some Yankee fans into the Mets fan base. Like, there are definitely some Juan Soto fanboys that have switched sides now. I'm going to Queens. I'm getting on the 7 line. I'm going over there to root for Juan Soto. I can't believe the Yankees didn't re-sign him. Al is in Washington Heights on the fan. Go for it, Al.
Keith. How you doing, Keith?
I'm good, man.
First time calling, man. I'm a Mets fan here, but I'm tired of hearing these Yankees fans crying. Juan Soto was a rental. He was a rental that helped you guys. He wasn't a true Yankee. He was a rental. Stop crying already. It is what it is already. Come on. It's over. There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Steve Cohen.
Yeah, I like the thought of it, but it's just off base. Like, stop crying. Nobody's crying. The decision's been over for months. It's been made for months. What Yankee fans are on is like, yo, you stop bringing it up. You stop talking about it. You stop going on Juan Soto. You stop going on podcasts and trying to make it seem like you left the Yankees for anything else but money, right? It's never going to end. You guys can try and shoo it away, wish it away. It's not going to end. You can't control people. You know how hard I tried to, like, in the stadium, enforce to, like, yo, knock it off with the Altuve stuff. Please. Yo, hey, chill. Altuve's not here. Stop that. Yo, you, yes, you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Like, you can't police fans. Like, you can't tell people how to feel about Juan Soto. And there's hella casuals. I think, the people that listen to WFAN, especially you're listening at 10:30 at night, like, you're more than a casual fan. You're like, dialed in, locked in, like, you care. But there are casual fans that are just like, now, oh, he's dead to me. He's on the other side. I hate him forever. I'm going to boo him. You can't tell them to stop crying. And, like, there's a new sheriff in town. It's Steve Cohen. Come on, bro. Steve Cohen is on Twitter searching his name, tweeting at my boy Rami Lavi. Steve Cohen is doing every possible Jedi mind trick. This guy is doing every single thing. Look at this. Russell Wilson just tweeted out a picture of ugly-ass MetLife Stadium. He said, been here before. Can't wait to do it again. MetLife Giants. Darius Slayton was like, anybody know where Russell Wilson won his Super Bowl? Yeah, we know. We remember. But yeah, there's a new sheriff in town. What makes you the new sheriff in town? Being rich? I'm telling you, money is not everything. Money can't buy you love. It's actually the root of evil. And I remember making the equation, or not the equation, the analogy to like these rich dudes that wonder why they can't pull the girls. I pulled girls broke my whole life. You know what I'm saying? Like I could always pull a girl off a Riz game. Didn't matter how much money I had or didn't have in my pocket. A lot of these rich dudes think that, why is she not coming with me? I got the car. I got the credit card. I got the clothes. Yeah, but you're a lame. You're a nerd. You're a loser. And no amount of money can wipe that off. So I'm not saying that with Steve Cohen. Like, I don't know the man. But, like, you guys are the new sheriff in town. He's not the only one with money. But he has gone to a ridiculous level to get Juan Soto. And he won. Congrats to him. Now you got to win games. You can't buy those wins. There's nowhere for Steve Cohen to put a deposit down to go 162-0. There's nowhere for Steve Cohen to buy these World Series he's proclaiming. Right now, now the goalpost has moved. It started off, we're going to win a World Series in the first 5 years. That's this year. You got to win it this year. It's been 5 years. Now it's, we're going to win a World Series, 2 to 4 World Series in the next 10 years with Juan Soto before he ages out and he's a DH that is, you know, way overpaid. And who knows if he's broken down by then. And who knows what the team is going to look like by then.
Sounds like Aaron Judge.
Sounds like Aaron Judge. How? What are you talking about?
It sounds like Aaron Judge. Anyway.
Sounds like Aaron Judge. What are you saying, bro? Judge is 33 about to be. He's still playing
at the end of his contract. He will probably be broken down and might be a DH.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
But he doesn't have a 15-year contract. Like,
no, he's not, an 8-year deal at $40 million.
He's not playing until he's 42. Anyway, we'll go ahead.
What I was going to say before that is, I think it's important to say that Steve Cohen, what he's doing, yes, he's buying players. Yes, he is doing what George Steinbrenner did in the late 90s. You're just buying players, trying to accumulate every single talented player you can, and you put them on the field, and you hope talent supersedes everybody else. Now, what Mets fans seem to forget is that the most talented roster in the NL is probably the Dodgers. And Definitely. They are doing exactly what the Mets are doing. Now, they are doing it way more creatively and way more smarter than every single team in baseball. And it's not cheating. It's what you have to do. And they are so ahead of the curve. And they are doing it really, really well. But the fact that, again, the Mets are in this conversation and Mets fans don't have to live with just like hoping the Yankees lose because we had no shot of winning. So our joy was based on the Yankees losing. That's what it was like.
You still might have to live in that world. You still might have to live in a world where, like, you don't have a better record than the Yankees. You might be good. The Yankees might be good, too.
That's fair, but I also think, when it comes down to it, if you're a real Met fan, you're not going to give a crap about the Yankees. You're going to care about winning championships.
That's another thing, too. We want to say who's real and who's not real. There's so many of us. We can't call it out. Like, who's real and who's fake and who's a... Met fans are always going to care about the Yankees. Proximity, history. I don't know how many Mets fans talk about like growing up and hearing it from the Yankees. Like the Met fan is always thinking about the Yankees because of the past, because of all of the winning that the Yankees have done on their same land, on their same soil, right? And the Mets not being able to measure up, right? I always used to joke about Mets fans referencing, you know, oh, we made it to the World Series at least in this decade, or at least in on. We were in the 2015 World Series. You haven't been in the World Series since 2009. Well, that's gone. And I'm like, we don't talk about World Series that we lose. So, like, we're already off that. We're not even proclaiming, like, we made it to the World Series last year. Like, how come y'all don't talk about losing a World Series in 2000? It's always 2015.
Right, it's all about, well, you want to, they're creating something for their own narrative, because that's what you're supposed to do as a sports fan. Everything is shaped around your narrative. The Yankees don't do any stupid promotions or giveaways because it's all the Mets.
I'm still hearing about the Subway Series from last year. Like,
that's ridiculous.
Still talking about we swept y'all last year. So what?
It meant nothing. Just like, and like you said this well, it will mean nothing this year. Is it going to be heightened a little bit more because of Juan Soto? Maybe.
Definitely.
But they're in different leagues. From a standings perspective, it doesn't mean a lot.
It will be heightened because now baseball, the city, both teams understand, don't look out for our safety and make it a Tuesday, Wednesday night game. Make it Friday night, Saturday. Step into the jungle. Welcome to the jungle in the Bronx. enter at your own risk. Make the drive and take the train out to Queens and let it be whatever it's going to be. This is New York.
It means, I think the Subway Series means way more to the fans than it does to the actual players.
Yeah, and I think it's going to get ratcheted up. It's going to get emotional. It's going to get to another level.
Absolutely.
Because people feel some type of way about Juan Soto. He's one guy. His opinion and what he feels doesn't change my opinion and how I feel about the Mets versus the Yankees. But I can see it. There are a lot of people that feel some type of way about it in a negative way and in a positive way. On the one side, like I said, this was my take yesterday. I put the video out. It did very well. I'm like, Mets fans, you have Superman on your side. You have a guy that, like, if it's a tie game, he can make it not a tie game with a swing of a bat. He can impose his will on the game. And now, Yankee fans, you have someone to hate. If you already hated the Mets, but like you kind of look down on them, now it's not a looking down on Lil Bro. Now it's you're hating on Juan Soto because you know his powers.
Yes,
you know what he did for you.
You have a reason now to actually sports hate the Mets. And it doesn't have to be from, no, we're the Yankees, we're better. No, we have 27 championships. It doesn't have to be from that, like, easy of a level, because that's a ridiculous thing to just keep going back on anyway. But it can be from a current viewpoint. Juan Soto picked you guys over us. We hate Juan Soto. We hate you even more now.
And we're going to be vocal about it, loud about it, and boo him to make him know that, like, you made the wrong decision. You're going to regret this. That's what that audio from Port St. Lucie 2 days ago, yesterday, was it? What's today? Tuesday? Yesterday? You can hear a fan say, you're going to regret this, Juan. Like, that comes from a place of, like, you're hurt. Why would Juan Soto regret taking $765 million of free suite for his family?
That fan who yelled that? If Steve Cohen offered that fan $100,000 to just become a Mets fan, he would do it in three seconds. And by the way, I don't know, you might need like a million for it. You would do it too. And that's okay, by the way.
Nah.
That's okay. You would turn down $1 million?
If the world knew that I was offered $1 million to switch from being a Yankee fan to a Met fan and turned it down, the Yankee universe would just make me $1 million richer in multiple other ways. It'd just come back to me in ways for being loyal. And that's part of it, too. The loyalty that we feel as fans, Juan Soto didn't have any of that. He was always pay for play. He was always going to the top dollar. And we as Yankee fans drink the Kool-Aid so much, we thought that it was swaying him. And that's what the Yankees thought. The Yankees' play was, yeah, of course, we need left-handed power. We need another star next to Judge. But the Yankees' play was, hey, if we get him in the building, how can he say no?
He can't leave. He'll never leave.
And that's what a lot of us believe.
Yeah.
I told y'all, Juan Soto is cold-blooded. He might be a cyborg. He might be an X-Men. He might be a mutant. Because I don't know how, as much as I love the Yankees, and they brainwashed me since I was 5 years old, I don't know how the hell he stepped into the Yankee universe like that and said, nope, I'll go to Queens, bro. I'll take more right across town. I'll be the enemy. I'll be the rival. He's got to wear it now. Let's see how he wears it. I think he'll wear it well. I think so far he's wearing it well, so much so that he's given us these quotables like, you know, as you see how long this contract is going to be, it just came down to that decision. You know, what do they have in the farm system? How many times can we be good on this team? I know the Yankees are going to be good for the next 5-6 years. We don't know after that. Like, just that quotable, just put that in the bucket. Why Yankee fans hate Juan Soto as well. What are you talking about, bro? What does that mean? Nobody knows. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back. Keith McPherson on the Fan, by the way, if you didn't know that. I don't know. Maybe you tuned in during the break. I also don't fault Juan Soto or Brandon Nimmo for answering the question. Like, I watched the entire post-game press conference after the Mets-Yankees spring training game. Every reporter asked about the Yankees. It's not going to stop. It's not going to end until these reporters leave it out, right? Same. At the end of the World Series, reporters were literally asking Juan Soto in the Yankee locker room about the Mets. So you got to blame some of these local reporters here in New York who kind of play both sides or act like they're neutral. Or, like, ask better questions. They can't ask better questions. They want to get the quotables. They want the Yankees for clicks, Mets for clicks. They want the things that are going to ignite both fan bases. Juan Soto is the thing. Juan Soto is the thing that is igniting both fan bases, because we've never had it before. We've just never had a guy help send the Yankees to the World Series, rental or not, 1 year or not, and then hit free agency and not be, you know, in love with the Yankees to the point where he's like, yeah, I'll be a Met. But, hey, stay down till you come up, Mets fans. It's your time. You're up right now. And Yankee fans, we're never down. So, like, for some of the Yankee fans punting on the season or feeling like Juan Soto is one guy, they have a whole team of guys that can't wait to play and can't wait to go out there and prove it. And I can't wait to see them do it. And maybe they fail, but it won't be the first time I've seen the Yankees fail. So, 888-808-1019. Val is up in the Bronx, back on the fan. Go for it, Val.
Chris, what's good, K?
You know, in there.
Yeah, we gotta get over that, all that blasphemy that's going on. What's Rosie talking about with how much they can offer people to switch up? We don't do that, bro.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Rosie? We don't do that.
There's just loyalty. There's things like money. Like, all money is not good money, man. You got to have some type of pride. You got to have, like, you know, and like, I'm not talking about Juan Soto. He didn't have any loyalty or attachment. His loyalty was to the almighty dollar, and he got it. Now he has to be loyal to Mr. and Mrs. Met for the next decade and a half.
And, you know, I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But, you know, I just wanted to say that's blasphemy. Don't even acknowledge that. And it was, you answered the question most correctly. But to get to where I called, a few things really quickly. You know, I wanted to give a shout out to Slick Rick, because he verbalized something that I've been feeling all so far through the spring. Because it's like, you know, last season, you know, I coined it as a determined eagerness. You know, based on what had happened the season before and our disappointments, based on what had happened in the winter meetings and the fact that we had gotten Soto, there was just like this amp to just like, let's just go start the season. We want this right now. This year, though, with the way that everything has gone through, it's beautiful, but beautiful in a different way, because that eagerness still exists. But now we've got like questions that we need answers on and things that we feel good about. But, you know, like, we got to see them play out. And it's actually something to look forward to. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful
uncertainty
story.
Uncertainty is okay. Life is uncertain. You know, every day is uncertain.
Like you said, though, some of that is certainty, because we always up there. We are always up there. And, right. And I'll tell you another thing. I really, really feel confident about what I'm seeing from these young kids. You know, we got questions to answer, and things will be, you know, will be played out, and there might be some rough nights or whatever it is like that, but I think we really are going to be all right. I still hold true to what I expect from my season, you know, and to get into some other talk too. You know, I don't know how to say it, because I'm trying to, like, you know, avoid all the nonsense and the noise, but like, I feel like a lot of all this stuff that's going on is just, again, and you said it earlier, it's like, I think it was a call or two ago said it, and you were like, no, nobody's crying. I don't know what there is that's out there that has these Mets fans. Like, it just seems like even this whole thing with, like, are they going to boo Soto? Like, you know, I'm like, dude, I guess the way I want to put it is, like, we're not even necessarily, like, I think it means more to Mets fans, like, them getting an opportunity to drink our tears, yes. And they're hoping that we're going to boo, so that they can say, ah, see, it really is affecting
it's
them.
It's a false feeling of the upper hand, Val. It's a false feeling of being under them. Like, that's what they want. Stop crying. Nobody's crying. We're ready to start the season. We got it. This was months ago. Like, and then, like, the booing. Bro, I was in there on Derek Jeter night. They booed Hal. They booed Hal. Because I don't know, Hal didn't go for somebody at the deadline. If they can boo the owner of the Yankees, hell yeah, they're going to boo Juan Soto.
You know what? Me personally, in my ideal world, whenever the Mets come to Yankee Stadium, they show that first game, his first at bat, they give him that tribute video, and we all applaud him and say thank you. You got us to the World Series last year. It was a beautiful year last year. It was an entertaining year. We
never
enjoyed it.
Happen.
Thank you very much. And every moment after that, we boo.
Never
gonna happen. And every time he comes to the plate,
not,
we the classic
not one Yankee fan on this earth, not anybody on WFAN, not any of these podcasters, not any of Bleacher, nobody has enough power or influence. Derek Jeter could come out tomorrow and say, hey, Yankee fans, give him a round of applause. You've been itching for a World Series. At least you got to smell one, and he sent you there. It would not matter. Everybody's on their own in there. There are Yankee fans that are coming in there to strictly boo his ass, heckle his ass, and that's what they're paying their money for.
I feel you. But I know there's a bunch of them too that's like, you know, we done moved on. I think overall though, I think that's the sentiment that I'm getting. Like and I think that like I heard Tiki say something, and while I'm not to the extent that he is, he was talking about some indifference. I feel the fact that Yankee fans, like, we've gone about our business. We are, like I told you before, we have things that we're trying to do that put us in the upper echelon to deal with what is the reality of Major League Baseball today. You know what I'm saying? And whatever that means, that's what we're trying to do. But I think it, like, you just get this sentiment that it burns them every time something happens and you don't get this, like to the caller's point, this whole crying thing. So long as they don't get that, like, people are like, it's almost like it means more to them than it does to us. We've already moved on. Let's just start the season and let's just go, man. Let's just get it going.
Thanks for the call, Val. This is what I'm trying to tell people. Like, I was listening to C-Mac last night where he's like, you know, Juan Soto was just here for a year and this will only take a year to blow over. No, it's not. And I think I wrote in my caption of my video, like, this could go on for the duration of his contract because people are not going to forget. There is a younger generation of Yankee fans, and follow me here because I'm on the internet probably too much for my age, but it helps me. Out of all these people at WFAN, go check whose internet presence and following actually rings off like that. And like, there's a reason why I'm connected to all of these young kids in this way on this live stream right now. How many we got in the live stream? Approaching 1,000. Like, it's important in this digital age. There is a whole generation of young Yankee fans that don't remember 2009. When I started the show today, I'm like, I don't feel like you guys think I feel because I experienced seasons starting the season opening day and winning the World Series. I was in college when we won the World Series. It was euphoric. I kicked myself a lot for not going to the parade and being a good college student athlete. But what I'm saying is there's a whole generation of young Yankee fans that are like 25 and under that World Series that we just experienced, they thought that was their one, that was their chance to win it with Juan Soto. They might even bought a Juan Soto World Series jersey with a patch on it. And since we lost it the way that we lost it, heartbreaking, and then Juan Soto did what he did after that game, talking to the media, letting everybody know he's available to everyone, that hurt them. And then to go to the Mets, and then they have to deal with the Met fans saying, aha, we got the guy, your run is over, your little brother. Like, they are in pain. Some of them in so much pain, they don't care about this season. They're going to care when the games start. But you picking up what I'm putting down? Like, I am older. Like, I am older now. I'm seeing these kids. Like, that was their Yankee Classic. That was their World Series. That was the season that they followed from the beginning of the season where Juan Soto's making plays, throwing guys out at home in Minute Maid Park. Like, we got Juan Soto. Now that Juan Soto's going to that other side, the 25-year-old that will be 40 at the end of Juan Soto's contract is not going to forgive and not going to forget. The 15-year-old that's going to be 30 at the end of that contract. I'm telling you, you know, these kids are not going to just, oh, we'll get over it in a year. If the Yankees don't ever get back to a World Series and win one in this time, and dare I say the Mets do, it's going to burn some of these young kids, and they're going to be pissed off about it. Last hour coming up, 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.